Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
Plus, terms and conditions apply. When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in, everyone, to the Early Line. Live right here on SportsGrid on a Wednesday morning. I am Kevin Walsh, joined by Donnie Wrightside, as we have a lot to get to here on this Wednesday morning. But first, DRS, how you feeling?
Feeling good, you know, recharged, ready here on a Wednesday, time to get after it. And you said it right, Kevin. I don't think we have enough topics to talk about, do we? Woo-hoo! 2 hours, as we say. Is it, Kevin, really enough for us?
It certainly isn't. Look, there's seven headlines here. If we get to four of them, I'd be proud. As we begin in the NFL... And no, we do not begin with Tom Brady retiring. Brian Flores, the former head coach of the Miami Dolphins, suing the NFL along with three teams, including the Miami Dolphins, the New York Giants, and the Denver Broncos, over discrimination, he alleges, throughout his firing process in Miami and the hiring process involving the Giants and the Broncos, claims that Stephen Ross, the owner of the Miami Dolphins, asked him to tank, offering him $100,000 for every loss in his opening season in Miami, and saying that his interviews with the Giants and the Broncos were, in his words, sham interviews and not really true to the process here, Donnie. A lot to unpack with Brian Flores suing the NFL.
A ton, and we're going to have a pretty good segment on this because the NFL needs changes, and change is a coming here for how you're actually going to pick select head coaches and why we need much more of a bucket there for the minorities to try to work their way into head coaching positions. I think what Brian Flores says is correct here, because before we, you know, expound on the topic, if anybody wants to believe, like, Brian Flores is a pretty good head coach in the NFL. We were shocked, both of us, when he got fired by the Miami Dolphins. But the fact that the Giants seemingly already had their guy in place and were really bringing in Brian Flores for a second look to, maybe change our mind. Some people can see right through that stuff, and that does need to change in the NFL.
It certainly does. Bill Belichick text messages being included here throughout this process. There is some rumors within this Miami situation that Ross wanted Flores to bring in a quarterback and kind of break the tampering rules. And there's a lot of signs that that might have been Tom Brady, who, again, we will talk about here. And the interesting part, and I'm excited because, of course, Don and I will break this down, but we're also going to have the opportunity to talk to Rick Haro, of course, Sports Grid sports business analyst, who will really help us, you know, understand a lot of the legality going on here. Because also, like, Donnie, Brian Flores, you know, at least up until recent, was interviewing for multiple head coach openings within the Houston Texans and the New Orleans Saints.
Yes, and there's still a lot of job openings left out there. So at this point, he's basically saying, like, now I don't feel like going on multiple interviews where I don't feel like I'm going into the room, Kevin, and having a fair shake at these. And that's going to change a lot of things, the way the NFL optics work and who's going to be getting interviews and why you're getting interviews. So it'll be interesting to see it. But, you know, talking about public pressure playing out now, this is the time where the NFL, Kevin, all they want to focus on is the Super Bowl. And now you're pushing something to the front table here, and it's going to get dealt with.
Yeah, it certainly is. And I will say, you know, at times that 2-week gap, you wonder, oh, what are you going to fill the time with?
Yes.
My goodness, there is plenty to fill the time with. Again, we will continue to unpack the Brian Flores situation there, but we will also talk about the official retirement for the best player in the history of the NFL in Tom Brady. Took to Instagram to give his thank yous to everybody that involved with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and nobody involved with the New England Patriots. And then about an hour or so later, thank the New England Patriots. But after 22 seasons in the NFL, Donnie, Tom Brady has called it a career.
Yeah, wasn't going to thank the Patriots here, and then he sort of gets tagged in it. You know, people on Twitter are like, I don't want to get involved. Oh, you tagged me, I'll throw a like out there. Yeah, thanks for all it. Love it, guys. Thanks a lot. Yeah, I didn't really want to do that at that point here. But the interesting part about this whole thing, Kevin, was Tom Brady going on his podcast the day before going, yeah, I haven't thought about it that much. Yeah, it seems like he thought about it, KW.
Yeah, I think he certainly did. The radio audience is in full effect. Appreciate all those tuned in to Sports Grid Radio, listening to the early line on this Wednesday morning. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside here, going through the top headlines throughout the sports world on this Wednesday morning. And sticking in the NFL, Jimmy Garoppolo, who I've been hard on. I appreciate his honesty here as Shanahan says, we got a lot to digest. And John Lynch is like, we'll have our conversations. And Jimmy G's like, I just hope you trade me to a winning situation. As in, all signs indicate, DRS, that Jimmy Garoppolo and the Niners will be parting ways sooner than later.
Yeah, Shanahan and Lynch picking up the phone. Jimmy G going, here's my list of teams I want to go to. Hanging up the phone and just having a good belly laugh after that. See you when we see you, kid, is basically what that's going to be for Jimmy G.
I mean, at the end of the day, the cap hit when they cut him or trade him is the same. We'll see what they're able to bring back for Jimmy Garoppolo. We'll see what that list looks like there for Jimmy Garoppolo as well. Switching over to the college game, and again, still a lot to, you know, to unpack there, but Auburn truly making the case as the best team in the country. Put a century marker up on Alabama, 100-81, and also Texas Tech with some sweet, sweet revenge for their former head coach, Chris Beard, beating the Longhorns 77-64.
Yeah, looking at Auburn there, fun team. They're like the anti-Virginia, right? Well, slow it down, play good defense. Oh. This team is so much fun to watch. The tempo is there. And even though early on it looked like that game was an under, as long as you're getting the shots up, they'll finally go in. That was an impressive performance by Auburn.
It certainly was. College football makes the top marker as well. Caleb Williams, the former OU quarterback, joins the former OU head coach Lincoln Riley in Southern California and is now going to be with USC. Updated Heisman odds, I assume, will have Caleb Williams right in the thick of things. And in the NBA last night, a bunch of good performances, but maybe none better than Giannis's 30-point triple-double in a win against the Washington Wizards. We take it right here to a break, but we come on back and continue to talk about Brian Flores and the NFL next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
NFL yesterday, where Brian Flores has sued the NFL and three teams in the league, the Miami Dolphins, his former team that he was coaching, as well as the Denver Broncos and the New York Giants. A lot to unpack here. A number of reasons listed by Flores as to why these teams were included. The Broncos and Giants can be lumped in and described, though, as what he believes were sham interviews, not really had in good faith, that they were simply satisfying the Rooney Rule. And we will talk about those. The Miami Dolphins situation is a lot to unpack. An organization that a lot of people have felt has been dysfunctional for a while. If a lot of this is what is being said here by Brian Flores is true, and we just don't know yet, which is why I say the is, because it's all alleged right now, there is going to be significant ramifications in Miami. And there, I think, regardless, looks like there could be significant ramifications throughout this entire process here. But Donnie, your initial reaction to the news that Brian Flores, while still being, you know, within what felt like a lot of these coaching searches here, has ultimately decided he needed to take action, and in the best chance for change for not just himself, but other minority head coaches, sues the NFL and three other teams.
Yeah, when you're scorned, right, where you say, okay, I'm brought in to be a head coach of the Miami Dolphins. You basically cut my legs out to start my head coaching career. But we don't know what was implied before. Like, hey, this is going to be a long, you know, scenario here. It's going to take 5 years. We're going to have to really knock down the foundation of this franchise and build it back up. I thought he did a great job that first year. Obviously, it's one of those teams where you're like, I mean, I'm surprised they actually won two games, let alone one game or three games at that point. So then you move forward and you see the progression here. You get your young quarterback. You almost make the playoffs. And then by that third year, and the thing that really tops it off, Kevin, is the spontaneous firing, where you're saying to yourself, like, we saw him get let go. I said, man, I didn't see that coming at all. Like, you figured Brian Flores was one of those pillar pieces in the Miami organization. Now, we don't know what goes on behind the scenes here. And I do want to start with, it's unbelievable that, you know, because I know owners talk and players talk and coaches talk, and some things are said off the cuff. But the fact is, it's a major no-no. The NFL hates tanking as it is. We can see teams clearly tanking. You just don't say it to people, or you don't say it to coaches that you have a hostile work environment, because it's pretty clear that we didn't see the interworkings of the Miami Dolphins. And where there's smoke, there's fire. We're going to get a lot over the next week where how Brian Flores was inside the building, who was against him, who was for him, what the players thought. You're going to get a lot of that coming in. But the initial reaction, everybody's going to be in the same boat here. Like, if you're Brian Flores and you get fired, you don't think you should have been fired, which, again, I say this. We did many a show where, wow, we're really surprised Brian Flores got fired there. Thought he's one of the better up-and-coming emerging coaches. But if you're going on interviews now where you're legitimately going into – and we're human beings. You know right away, everybody probably watching this show or listening has been on an interview at one time or another. You can sit, whether it's one person, three person, five people from HR that want to know about you. You can read the room right away. Like, I'm giving answers here, and I'm not getting much feedback. I'm not talking about talking where the guy on the left looks like he's not even paying attention. One other guy is checking his watch at this point. What am I actually doing here? Is this a legitimate interview? Do I have a chance to get this job? And the minute you sit down, because Brian Flores dates it back to, what, 2019 with the Denver Broncos, going, okay, I'm here to get a job. You guys are late. You come in disheveled. You smell like alcohol. The interview probably lasts an hour. Thanks, we'll get back to you. And said, man, what happened there? But then he gets the head coaching job with Miami, gets fired, and maybe thought he shouldn't have gotten fired, and then goes on other coaching interviews where maybe he's getting that same vibe, like, boy, I'm a hot candidate just because I'm a minority, and that's why I'm here. Do I really have an honest chance at this job? And then even though you're thinking about that, Bill Belichick fires off text going, congratulations, you're the coach of the Giants. Mm-hmm. Well, wait a second. I didn't complete the process here. Oh, my bad. I must have had the wrong text message. So right away, and then he goes into that job interview, probably steaming with the New York Giants going, I already have intel that I'm not the coach, but you're putting on this sham and running me through the facility and meeting everybody when I probably don't have any chance to win. That would make anybody upset. Forget minority. Anybody would be upset with that type of sham.
Yeah, and look, for, you know, the Bill Belichick part of it, right? Whether Bill thought he was texting Brian Daboll or misread a prior text message that made him think it was Brian Flores who got the job, that is certainly a damning piece of evidence. There was some uncertainty around how the Rooney Rule would apply to the New York Giants in that instance there, because they had interviewed multiple minority candidates. But you need now, with an update to the change, have an in-person interview with a minority head coaching candidate. And according to the Adam Schefter breakdown, the Brian Flores interview that he was going in for was the first in-person minority interview, which adds some validity to the claim that it could have been a sham interview. Again, simply breaking down the pieces here, we don't know entirely what is true and what is not, but that is where that criticism there of the Rooney Rule certainly does have some validity. I think the thing right now that I want to just kind of say off the top here, though, DRS, is there's a lot of people, whenever situations like this come about, will say, why is it that we have to hire a minority coach? Can't we just get, you know, best person for the job? Can we just hire the top candidates? That's what everyone wants. And if you with a straight face are under the impression that that is happening as Brian Flores doesn't have a job, then you're not being honest. The first coach to win back-to-back seasons with the Miami Dolphins since 2003. A team, as we've talked about here, and again, some legitimate indications that really talk about what their goals were for his first year in Miami, that was built to go 0-16. He had them finish 5-4 the final week of the season that year. They went to Foxborough, beat Tom Brady, and cost that group a bye week because of his ability to just be a tremendous head coach. Maybe the first AFC East coach ever that's had Bill Belichick's number, as Flores once again this year pulled off of a sweep of the New England Patriots there. Again, a team that went to the postseason. And that is where this all to me, Donnie, is going to continue to develop here, because let's be honest, there are a lot of comparisons that can be drawn between Brian Flores and Colin Kaepernick. And not to reopen the Colin Kaepernick thing, but there are plenty of people who went out of their way to say the reason Colin doesn't have a job is because he's not good enough, which I think was very dishonest at the time. But there is no one, Donnie, who I think with a straight face can try and pretend that Brian Flores is not an upper echelon coach in the NFL 3 years into it, and he has looked every bit the guy that any organization would be tremendously lucky to have in their building.
You're right, but also you have to remember, this is still a corporate environment where wins and losses matter a lot, but it's also relationships inside the building. If we could just flip it over, we're both Philadelphia Eagles fans. Chip Kelly gets hired to be the Philadelphia Eagles head coach, 10-6 his first year, wins the division, 10-6 the next year, just misses the playoffs, gets fired before he even completes his third year. Not because of the winning on the football field, which he had the division and obviously, you know, had the two winning seasons before the final one. It's because he alienated every single person in that building, where Jeffrey Lurie had to say, I need my franchise back. Every time we walk in here, it's a miserable experience because of you. Now, it's not to say that, because again, we don't know the inner workings in Miami, but something was clearly amiss between the owner, the GM, and the front office, where we can't get through to this guy. Yeah, he's a great coach, but I can't walk into his office and have an honest conversation with him because something goes haywire, whether it's Flores' fault, whether it's the front office's fault. Because the one thing that we do know with the Miami Dolphins, this isn't a pillar organization that has been fantastic over the past 25 years. Like, boy, that's really outlandish here. How could this happen? It seems like there's a lot of dysfunction in Miami, but we have to keep in mind that it's still a corporate environment where, regardless of results on the field, you have to get along with everybody in the building. And if there is friction, you're going to have one of those battles, which is what we saw. It was Brian Flores versus Chris Greer, and Chris Greer won.
And the interesting thing, though, is if perhaps he couldn't, or those relationships fell apart in Miami, right? That doesn't, though, you know, justify all of these other places, because I think, again, people being honest would say that Miami has been a place of dysfunction. And it also is clear from this reporting that the Flores-Miami relationship seemingly were torn from the beginning because he won too many football games. That is, again, a tough pill to swallow. We will continue to break this all down and unpack everything else in the sports world here on The Early Line on a Wednesday morning.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Against the NFL and three of the teams within the league. In our number two, we're going to bring Rick Haro on to talk a little bit more about the legal ramifications here. I think there is a lot to try and understand. If Stephen Ross legitimately offered $100,000 to Brian Flores for every game he lost, I don't think there's a way he can really keep his ownership status in the NFL. Like that, I don't see, like, just quickly, Donnie, right? If he was basically incentivizing losing, that is, like, you talk about the Pete Rose thing, right? We recently were discussing, like, the Hall of Fame and betting against his team. There's no way Stephen Ross could survive that being true, right?
Correct, because actions sometimes speak louder than words. What I mean by that is you can trade away all your draft picks in the NFL, and they'll say, okay, they're just building for the future. You can't actively, like, throw a game. Like, this is why we don't see teams, like, take a knee from the first quarter to the fourth quarter in the last 4 weeks of the season so they get the number one overall pick. It's done in other ways. Oh, this guy's got a hamstring injury. Yeah, we're going to sit him out and put him on IR. I want to get a look at this quarterback here. That's the way you do it in the NFL. But also, I can't imagine – like Stephen Ross walking in to Brian Flores' office, sitting down and goes, I'm being serious here. I'll pay you in crypto $100,000 a game if you lose, you know, 16 games this year. That couldn't have happened. I almost can kind of imagine the relationship was sort of strained to begin with all along is what I'm imagining, where maybe he steps in and goes, hey, man, like, I mean, you know, we're looking for high draft picks, man. I'll pay $100,000 for a loss. And sort of like almost like a joke there. But the other guy going, I can't even believe he's telling me this right now. Even if it's a joke, you can't say that. So the NFL usually is about integrity on the football field, which is why the huge story with Tom Brady and Deflategate, and you're going to ruin the integrity of the game. Yeah. This is terrible here. And I doubt it was actually going to go forward, but just the questioning of it with legalized gambling coming in and what that means, like, hold on now. You're actively telling a coach to throw a football game. You can't do that as an owner. You can't.
You absolutely cannot. And that will be really interesting to see play. And again, we'll be able to unpack that a little bit more with Rick Carl. What I wanted to quickly bring up, though, is within this lawsuit, there are a couple of points that Flores and the, you know, the legal team who kind of released all of some of the statements here put out that they want to see addressed. And I just want to read these four bullet points or five bullet points that they've here, which say they want to increase the influence of black individuals in hiring, increase, quote, the objectivity of hiring / terminating GMs, head coaches, and coordinators, increase the number of black coordinators, incentivize hiring / retention of black GMs, head coaches, and coordinators, as well as transparency of pay for GMs, head coaches, and coordinators. This is something that is, I believe, Donnie, I think a lot of people would agree, this is something that goes beyond Brian Flores looking out for Brian Flores. I believe him when he says he is looking to make league-wide change. Thoughts on, you know, how the NFL gets there? Because I think we both certainly agree this morning that there is change that needs to be made here throughout the NFL.
There is change coming here. And we're talking about the pool that you're going to be able to pick from minority candidates or any candidates for that matter. So when we try to take a look at, you know, some of the minority coaches that are still around here and have had coaching jobs, it's not a great pool. Like Todd Bowles, Jim Caldwell, Leslie Frazier, Vance Joseph, Marvin Lewis, and Raheem Morris. The reason I bring those up because they already had head coaching jobs here. And you take a look at some of the records, like Todd Bowles, 24-40, Leslie Frazier, 21-32, Vance Joseph, 11-21, you know, Raheem Morris, 21-38, some of the younger guys, Jim Caldwell, who's a very good coach there for the Indianapolis Colts and then also for the Detroit Lions. He was 62-50 in his career. And Marvin Lewis, maybe the best job of all time because he was in Cincinnati on a shoestring budget and still ended up 131-122. So when we're talking about changes that need to be made here, Kevin, it's about getting more candidates into the field. Now, you take a look, and you know me, I love to equate things to other sports. When you take a look at Major League Baseball, trying to get the minorities into the game more here, particularly African-American. So what do? Reviving baseball in inner cities, the RBI program, flood major markets here, the Philadelphias, the Bostons, the Los Angeles, big markets here, inner city, where kids aren't playing baseball anymore and say, hey, look, this game is great. We want you to play this game because the more kids that play it at a young level, 5, 6, 7 years old, play through high school, go to college, enter into the minor league ranks, and then head into Major League Baseball. It's the same thing that needs to take place here in the NFL, Kevin. And it's not so much as players because we say to ourselves, okay, the league is 70% minority here that's playing. So you're saying, well, there should be a lot of guys getting into the coaching ranks. Ask yourself this. You just got done a career where you've made, I don't know, $10, $15, $20, $30, $100 million. Coaching is an extremely hard profession. Not to say it can't be fun and you love to do it, but the hours are unbelievably tough. So usually in the coaching ranks, you start young, Kevin. 21, 22, 23 years old, just out of college, where money really isn't the object for you. You just want a job, an internship, unless we like to say the Baltimore Ravens with their 20 and 20 program. Hire 20 young kids, $20,000 a year, work them to death over a year and see who really wants to come back into this game. So why not go into the collegiate ranks here? There are thousands upon thousands of minorities, you know, white players, whoever it might be, that want to get into the coaching ranks and know they're not playing another down of football in professional ranks. So get them into the pool here. What happens if each and every organization had to hire 10 minorities right out of college as interns or paid intern coaches here to get them in and say, okay, at the end of the year, you might be left with three per team. But those three now are flooding the ranks. Go, man, these kids really get it. And over time, it's not an overnight success here. 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, all of a sudden that pool grows immensely and say, wow, instead of just Brian Flores interviewing for jobs where I need to clear a Rooney Rule, I have 10 candidates here that I really want to interview who are minorities. If you make the pool deeper, much more is going to happen in the future of the NFL just getting these guys in the room. Why? Because there'll be so many great candidates, you can't turn your back.
And I think there's definitely merit, Donnie, to trying to increase the pool, because the more, the better. But also, I don't think we can, and I'm not saying that you are, pretend as if it's that, oh, there are no good candidates. We've talked about Bieniemy before. I get it. Maybe he doesn't call the plays. Maybe he does. You know, they send the mixed reports out from Kansas City. At the end of the day, Matt Nagy and Doug Peterson, in the same exact situation, were hired out of Kansas City. Both had levels of success. Nagy won a coach of the year and went to the postseason multiple times in Chicago. Doug Peterson won a Super Bowl. How is Eric Bieniemy, who has been with Patrick Mahomes all 4 years as the offensive coordinator, still without a job? You mentioned a name there in Jim Caldwell. Jim Caldwell, with success in Detroit that they have not even come remotely close to repeating since Jim Caldwell left. People say they want offensive minds. That's what Jim Caldwell does. Jim Caldwell, not able to get back into the NFL as a head coach. And we've talked about the quality of hires up until this point. And truthfully, right, the New York Giants are involved in this. Brian Daboll was the best coaching candidate out there because he checked a lot of the boxes in terms of a young offensive mind, right? And there's some value around that. It's a job well done by the New York Giants ultimately, right? And you continue to go through the list, and there's coaching hires that make sense. But there's going to be one team that is going to consistently likely be brought up in this, and there's every single reason for it to be. The Chicago Bears hiring Matt Eberflus. Oh, we want an offensive guy. Nope, you hired a defensive coordinator. We want a guy who is younger, 11 years older than Brian Flores. Well, we want a guy with legitimate experience. Never been a head coach there. There is quite literally, Donnie, not a single argument for Matt Eberflus over a Brian Flores there. And now it is not to single out Matt Eberflus or single out the Chicago Bears, but it is something that we have seen here. The more candidates, the better. No disagreement there, Donnie. But they're not, the candidates that are right there in front of them are good enough and not being selected on a consistent basis.
No, you're right. There's a lot of validity to that. There really is. But when you're looking from a point of, okay, so Brian Flores, keep in mind, Brian Flores just had a coaching job. So it's not as if he was passed over before. He might be getting passed over this time around and follows the lawsuit. We get that. And also you take a look at Eric Bieniemy, who's been in the NFL for a long time. It's not as if he can't get an interview. He's had probably dozens of interviews and hasn't found himself in the head coaching position. Now, also keep in mind, we're not done the hiring cycle here. There's probably a reason here, Kevin, where you haven't seen a lot of these coaches move because they're waiting to the end of the playoffs to make that decision here. Now, also, there's one guy out there who I thought Brian Daboll, for me, and even this goes last year, was the best overall candidate on the market regardless. Mm-hmm. He gets a job with the Giants. I think that's a great fit. I would have hired Brian Daboll more than anybody else on the market. Same thing with the Chicago Bears. I thought Daboll would have been a perfect situation. But there's one guy on the market that makes a lot of sense who now should be getting interviews and probably get a head coaching job. It's Byron Leftwich. Because we talk about if you just play off one or another, mm-hmm. whether or not you want Bieniemy or Leftwich. We always say like Bieniemy. He doesn't call the plays in Kansas City, but he is with Andy Reid under his wing, learning that offense. He's probably going to get a look sooner or later at this point. But Byron Leftwich, that's his offense for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You can't tell me mm-hmm. after he ran the show with, you know, Jameis Winston, who had a lot of turnovers, but that offense moved it up and down the field. Then gets Tom Brady. And how easy would it have been for Tom Brady to come like, look, this is my offense. And like, you just stand over here on the sideline. No, Brady respected Byron Leftwich. And for the fact of the matter is, like, Jacksonville and Leftwich is such a perfect match here for that organization, and he hasn't been hired yet. I'm waiting to see because I think we're going to get a lot of movement here before the Super Bowl with some of these hirings now that Bieniemy is out of the playoffs, and obviously the same thing with Brian Leftwich down in Jacksonville, or excuse me, going to Jacksonville possibly from Tampa Bay.
And to add to the Leftwich point, though, it's almost the perfect example of kind of what's kind of happening here, where there seems to be a big kind of standoff between Trent Baalke, who's currently in position, right, and Byron Leftwich. And Baalke doesn't want to give up any of the control. And Byron Leftwich is not only saying, listen, we need to move on from Baalke, but I have a minority, perfectly suitable candidate for you to bring in as your general manager and Adrian Wilson there. And again, we're sat here with the Jacksonville Jaguars, who had more time than any to go through their coaching process with still no answers. And I wonder if this could have some ramifications into their process as well. We will circle back to this with an hour number two. But up next, it's Hot or Not. And it's all about the GOAT, Tom Brady. That's next right here on SportsGrid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Around Tom Brady officially retiring yesterday from the NFL, though genuinely the way he phrased it, I feel like he maybe opened it back up to that he can come back because he's like, it's not about retirement. I'm not going to make the commitment to competing, yada, yada, yada. Very Tom Brady, everything that you would expect. But I think we will toss this up here in a very simple way that will allow us to approach the official retirement of Tom Brady from any angle that we so please. DRS, nice and simple here. Hot or not, Tom Brady is the GOAT.
Yes, very simple. It's a very easy layup question. As I always like to say, KW hands the assist off, you know, DRS with the flush. It's ready to go. Tom Brady is the greatest football player of all time, and it's not even questionable at this point. There was a time, Kevin, around like 2010, 2011, I was already saying he's the best football player that I'd ever seen. Talking about those New England Patriots teams with not the greatest talent on offense, and every time you needed somebody to deliver, it was Tom Brady. The ridiculous statistics in the NFL. I believe, and this has been a long time checking, I think he won like his first 10 playoff games, just something absurd like that. And when you look at the list of accomplishments that he has, it's almost impossible to read. And the first two that stick out the most, 7-time Super Bowl champion, like more than any other franchise has done in like 100 years of the NFL. Then you take a look here overall, 5-time Super Bowl MVP, which means he dominated in the biggest game possible. Every single time you saw Tom Brady on the football field, you knew you had the advantage. And from a handicapping perspective, we talk about, you know, this day and age, hey, I don't want to go against Kansas City because Patrick Mahomes, it's so tough. But going against Tom Brady for the last 20 years, how profitable could that have been? Like, oh, yeah, Brady's only -3 or getting 3 points in this game. Yeah, let me fade Tom Brady. Not so much at that point. By far the greatest football player of all time. Because some people, oh, he's the best quarterback of all time. No. He is the greatest player to ever suit up in the history of the NFL. And with the way the NFL is evolving, Kevin, obviously people are going to put up big statistics. But with the amount of money these guys are making, is anybody even going to want to play 20-plus years? Because you take a look at Patrick Mahomes, like, hey, that new breed of player, he just signed a contract for $500 million and makes millions more off the field in endorsements. So by the time he turns 35, is he going to say, you know what, boy, I would love to play till 45? For who, for what at that point now? Brady played at a time where he's doing something exceptional, where into the future, I don't even think guys are going to play this long, let alone be allowed to play this long, because how can you be this good in your mid-40s? I don't know how he did it, but by far, the greatest of all time.
And the reality is of course, this is hot here with when it comes to Tom Brady. We talk about the evolution of the sport. Nani, he went through the evolution, right? Like, again, there are these similarities to, right, LeBron going from the, you know, lesser spaced game to the way things kind of had to open up and operate here. You know, Tom Brady in 2001's quarterback of the New England Patriots. Here we are in 2021. NFL looks very different. We're not handing it off and let defense win a game. And the thing about Tom Brady is it's not that he just, you know, adapt and survive. No, it's adapt and thrive. MVPs. Going out there, Donnie, and ending his career leading the NFL in passing yards and passing touchdowns. And here is what I think will separate Tom Brady from everybody else, and it certainly has at the minimum from now until anyone that's ever played this game before him. It's about longevity. We can debate peaks all you want. Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, Peyton Manning, whomever you'd like to enter into that conversation. But if I give you one quarterback, or really one player for the length of their career, there is no debate. He did this for over two decades. The highest level of quarterback play for an extended period of time that we have seen. And the accomplishments are impossible to really wrap your head around. Seven Super Bowls, five Super Bowl MVPs, three regular season MVPs. And I made this point a little bit yesterday, but also DRS, the Comeback Player of the Year award, right? It's an award that you ever really want? Probably not. But this is a guy that at the age of 31 tore his ACL and MCL and came back and said, yeah, don't worry, I got another decade plus in the tank. No problem. And I know people often talk about, oh, the system of New England without Tom. The year before the torn ACL was the year that the New England Patriots didn't lose a football game until the Super Bowl. He threw 50 passing touchdowns. So I know it doesn't sound like winning 11 games is a drop-off, but it actually was. It was five less wins than they had the year before. Tom Brady then went and did it somewhere else. Year one in Tampa. Here's a Super Bowl. I know the roster was great. I know the defense was unbelievable throughout the postseason run. Does anybody think they won the Super Bowl without Tom Brady? And then again, this year, defense spends the entire season banged up. Wide receivers dropping left and right or retiring if they so feel in the middle of the games against the New York Jets. And they still go out there and put another win on the postseason resume, win the NFC South. And the thing about Brady that is so special, as unfortunately Peyton Manning limps, and even though he won a Super Bowl on his way out through the finish line, Ben Roethlisberger limps through the finish line. If Brady would have came back next year, he would have been a top five MVP favorite. The Bucs would have been a top five choice to win the Super Bowl, and he would have been a top five quarterback in the NFL because he was just that great, and he was that great his entire career.
No, and he has been. And let's talk about career, right? So you come out of high school here, you go to Michigan. And it's sort of that underdog mentality. Well, wait a second. Tom Brady got a Division I scholarship to Michigan. He's got to be a pretty good quarterback. Understandable there. But also going in and trying to prove himself around that team where Drew Henson comes in, that all-world athlete, where enough to get him away, Drew Henson from baseball, Michigan basically said, you know what, you're going to be the starter no matter what. So Brady was battling that all through his college career and then winds up going to the combine. And everybody's seen the pictures that have circulated over the past 24 hours and have always been around. You know, Tom Brady running the 40, like, oh my goodness, man, like, your grandfather could run faster. You know, Tom Brady with a picture, you know, we talk about like the meat market where it's like, hey, take your shirt off, we'll take a picture and weigh you and, you know, measure you. And it looks like he barely lifted a weight in his life. And then showing up to New England, it's one of my favorite quotes ever, where early in his rookie camp, Robert Kraft comes down to watch a practice, probably had no idea who Tom Brady was. And Tom Brady walks up and goes, it's probably the best investment you've ever made here and drafted me six overall. And Kraft probably walks away like, yeah, you'll be here for another 2 weeks, kid. And, you know, maybe I'll see you down the line at some point. To come in and also upseed the whole, you know, Drew Bledsoe getting injured and getting to a Super Bowl early in his career where it's like, hey, you're double-digit underdogs here to the Rams and winning that football game and in great fashion where you had to drive your team down in the field goal range and the legend began. And so many big games and big-time events have happened because Tom Brady was in the NFL. It's an unbelievable story because this wasn't one of those, you know, spoon-fed number one picks of overall. Dominates all the way through, always on the best football team. How many times over the years with the New England Patriots that we take a look at Tom Brady going, who are his wide receivers? Who are his running backs? And why does he win a Super Bowl and you trade away Deion Branch, his number one weapon? All of that was because Bill Belichick knew, I have the best football player alive. No matter who I surround him with, he is going to make them great. And that's Tom Brady.
It absolutely is. He leaves with the record book. Like, he just walks out with the record book belongs to him. And, of course, most regular season passing yards and most regular season passing touchdowns. But also, those records carry over to the postseason. And for me, the starkest one, DRS, right? Currently tied for the second most passing touchdowns in the history of the postseason is Joe Montana and Aaron Rodgers at 45. Tom Brady, 86 playoff passing touchdowns. I mean, the gap is unimaginable. It is careers combined. You have to take Montana and Rodgers combined to get in front of what Tom Brady has done in his NFL postseason career alone. Like, his NFL playoff stats are just like probably enough to put him into a Hall of Fame. Truly, truly incredible. And the fact that he leaves still on top is why I think there is still so much disbelief that that's truly it. And then also the way Tom Brady phrases that he's not going to make a competitive commitment, well, it allows us then to stir the pot maybe one last time. Donnie, hot or not, Tom Brady will play in the NFL again.
I'm going to say a nod here, but we've seen crazier things happen. Like, maybe now that Tom Brady's retired, Drew Brees comes back for one last run to take some of those records away from Tom Brady. And Tom Brady says, no, not so fast. I'm going to come back to a ready-made environment. I can't imagine him coming back and playing, because once you stop the body clock, particularly being that old, it's not, I mean, we've seen players in the past that get injured, miss 2 years, come back. Or, you know, Michael Vick actually went away to prison and came back. Took him a year, but was like, hey, he's still young and he gets back into shape. You can't shut down a 45-year-old body. Like, you know what? I'm going to relax this year. You know, forget about the avocado ice cream. I'm going to eat some potato chips and some pizza, you know, crank some beers. And then the next year, like, you know what? They're going to make one more run at this thing. Once you shut that body down, trust me, I know at this age, because, again, my sort of trivia question I gave yesterday on the on Listen Up, Kevin, was, can you name two players in NCAA football action between 96 and 99? Look at me. I'm sitting here. I'm old and broken down, and Tom Brady is just stepping away from a professional career where he's the greatest of all time. Trust me, I shut it down at 22, and by 23, it was a wrap for me, KW.
Here's the thing about Brady shutting it down, though. It's like there's levels, right? So now he goes from eating, like, avocado ice cream to what, like, fat-free vanilla,
carrots,
right? And slap those jimmies on there, DRS, and get himself really jazzed up about, like, that's
Bangles,
vanilla.
Yeah.
Listen, chocolate, Reese's. We don't have to go through this whole.
Is he eating Reese's Pieces now? Is that what he's doing this week?
Yeah, listen, cut his mic, man. We can't have this guy ruining the integrity of this program. Now, here is the thing, though, with Brady, right? It's become very clear, Donnie, that no one is going to respect his retirement. What do I mean by that? Phillip Rivers. Hey, man, we're struggling over here. Yeah. You sure you don't want to run it back? Even though you're, you know, kind of limping on your way out? Hey, Drew, I know that you're getting paid a boatload by NBC and you could barely throw the football on your way out, but things ain't going great here, man. You sure you don't want to hop back onto the field? Tom Brady, like, they're going to call Tom Brady once a week in Vegas probably, right? Like, I got to imagine Josh McDaniels, like, hey, listen, I'm just saying, man. Like, I don't know, Derek Carr, like, maybe he walks away. What do you want to do? You want to come back? You want to come get after? Like, you let me know here. And the thing about Tom is it's not about money, right? Like, it has nothing about that. It's about, like, if I just say, hey, Tom, pretty easy path to the Super Bowl right here. Like, we got a lot of good stuff cooking. You sure? And he doesn't have to run through a full season. Like, I'm just saying, I wouldn't lay minus 10,000 on under, you know, a half of another career game for Tom Brady, because you know they're going to call him, Donnie.
Yeah, let's see. You know, I love wild scenarios that make no sense. The Kansas City Chiefs, 14-0 heading into December. Mm-hmm. And I know you like this one. Ready? Patrick Mahomes snaps the leg out for the year. He snaps the leg, and Tom Brady comes back in here and is like, hey, look, you can lead us to another Super Bowl. What a way to end your career. That's the only way. But I knew you would love that analysis right there on how he can come back to the NFL.
I mean, you can't win with this guy, man. The one thing I will say, just that I have appreciated through going through this process, is every time I want to go, no one's going to ever touch Tom's records. I just look at, like, where Mahomes is already in 4 years of playing. I'm like, maybe. Like Mahomes is already, like, top 10, like, career passing touchdowns in the postseason. But, like, that's all besides that. Tom Brady, the best to ever do it. It's unquestionable. Will we see him again? We'll see. It very well could be. We go from Tom Brady and consistent greatness to Washington, the football team, and consistent madness. That's next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Closing out hour number one. There are just certain topics that if there's anything going on, you make sure you pop them into the rundown, right? Big LeBron news makes the cut. Ben Simmons, you know, news makes the cut. Washington football team name-related news always makes the cut. Donnie's had this circled on the calendar for quite some time here, as today is announcement day. And Donnie, I'll let you handle it from here, and you can give people the full breakdown. But in typical Washington fashion, we probably already know what the name is. It's just exactly what you expect from the footballs.
Yes, it is. And it's very poorly done here by the Washington football team, particularly KW, because it took so long to come up with a name. And I used to joke, like, the easiest thing in sport is to do with social media today. We're getting rid of the Redskins football name. We're retiring that. We're going to move into the millennium here, and we're going to pick a new name. But you know what? In the time being, we don't understand how to pick a name, so we're just going to go with football team. Which already stuck in my craw because, you know, being an Eagles fan, not a huge fan of the Washington football franchise, terrible ownership, terrible front office, terrible stadium, and now you're giving me a Washington football team. And it started to get traction. And KW, as it started to get traction, it started to infuriate me even more as there was a legitimate chance that this team was just going to be called the Washington football team. And the simple fact that I've had to do content over the past couple years and say, what game is today? It's the football team versus the – are you kidding me? So I don't care what they name the team as long as they name the team. And I love the fact that they botched the name of the team. Makes it all that much better. But at least next year, I can call the Washington football team the Commanders, the Brigade, whatever it's going to be. Because who knows? Maybe they hung up that sign yesterday to throw the people off. But the fact that they actually have a name now puts a little bit of smiles on DRS's face that I don't have to call them the football team. Get out of here with that.
Oh, man. I might still call them the football team, you know? The way that some people tried to hang on to the old name despite the fact of why it was being moved on from, I might just still have to call them the Washington footballs. Apparently, it's going to be the Commanders. Who knows? Hour number two is next.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.